How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've joined us again in the broadcast this week. We pick up our study here in Mark chapter 3, verse number 22. The Lord Jesus has appointed 12 apostles. And he's about the ministry. These fellows, these brethren are to be there to be a witness of the Lord's ministry and of his resurrection. We looked about some of that in Acts chapter 1 about the requirements and qualifications to be an apostle. We talked about Judas and that the Lord knew that Judas would be the betrayer. And then we see here in verse number 22 that these scribes come down from Jerusalem and to where the Lord is ministering, and they've got a new revelation. They've got new understanding about how our Lord is doing, what he's doing, and the casting out of these demons. There's nothing recorded in Israel about anyone being able to cast out demons out of people. But our Lord Jesus, not only can he heal immediately and heal permanently, but he also can cast out demons and has done so with great ability and with no restriction, and nothing ever too hard for him to accomplish. And so these fellows, these scribes, come down from Jerusalem. They said, "Bah, we know how he's doing it." And they said, it says here in verse 22, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils." Now, this is very dangerous ground. The reason that this is dangerous ground is, again, the working of God. God is one God, yet he manifests himself to us in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, having come to earth and taken on the form of a man. He's become a man. He is the God-man, that he might accomplish salvation for sinners and for his people. And so the Lord Jesus, having gone to John to be baptized of him, we see about the sanction of the Godhead, the Trinity, upon the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the Lord Jesus goes to John to be baptized. The Spirit of God descends from heaven like a dove and abides upon the Lord Jesus. And then the Father speaks from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." We see that the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is totally, fully authorized and sanctioned by God Almighty. Now let's go to the context here and the time here in this chapter 3 of Mark. These men have come and they're accusing the Lord Jesus Christ that his casting out of demons is by the power of Satan. When you accuse the Lord Jesus Christ, when you and I would accuse the Lord Jesus Christ of anything, understand we're accusing the Godhead of something. Let's read on and see what our Lord says about it. "And he called unto him, he called them unto him," he said, "y'all come over here," "and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end." So first, the Lord Jesus Christ says, listen to this. How foolish is this thought? Can a kingdom fight against itself and continue on? Can a house, the children of a man, fight against the father, if you will, and the house still stand? You understand that cannot be. Kingdoms are confederate and houses are confederate, speaking about families, okay? There cannot be a future in the power of a family if that power is divided, because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. These demons have occupied the bodies of people. They have possessed them. They have done that because they've been allowed to do so, and they're able to do so, and they've chosen to do so. They will not leave until they are ready, until the Lord Jesus comes along and says, you leave, you're out of here. And in every case that the Lord Jesus confronted, the testimony is at hand, because the people so throng him, they come to him, they bring their children, they bring their kin that are possessed of devils and diseases, and he's able to heal them and cast those demons out. Without fail, they all obey him. It's manifested. His power is manifested. And so if Satan is doing in Satan's kingdom and his work, if you will, how can he stand up? And if Satan, verse 26, rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand but hath an end. No army never fakes an attack upon itself to gain an advantage with the enemy. If soldiers are compromised or killed or wounded and taken out of their ability to be in the action, how can that group, that force, go on when they diminish their own numbers? And so it's just a matter of common sense that's at hand. But then there is a more here, our Lord says. In verse 27, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So you've got a strong man. Let's say, and I think the illusion is, or not the illusion, but the scenario is, the Lord says to you, Satan and his followers, his demons, those fallen angels, they are stronger than you, right? Because parents are crying unto the Lord, Lord, help my lunatic son. The demon that's in him puts him into the water and seeks to drown him, puts him into the fire and seeks to burn him and destroy him, and makes him writhe so in the dust and everything. I can't do anything about it. Nobody that I've been able to find is able to do anything about it. I need you, if you will, have compassion on us and help us. Isn't that the account in the Gospels? And so the Lord says, he's the strong man as far as you're concerned, and nobody can go and enter into his house and spoil, take his stuff and spoil his goods, except he bind the strong man, except he be stronger than he. Listen to this. Demons are not going to be cast out unless somebody stronger shows up. And that's what the Lord Jesus is saying. I'm stronger than they. Then he will spoil his house. So the possessed person is like unto the house of the strong man, and the demon occupies the person and makes the person do things that they normally wouldn't do. That's the demon possession that's at hand. But Jesus says, hush, when they testify to the fact of who he is, and get out of them, and they obey, then Jesus has manifested that he is stronger than all. Doesn't have a strategic advantage in that there's some game that's being played, but he is stronger than they. He's stronger than all. And then we come to verse 28, and this accusation that they level against the Lord is a blasphemous thing and a dangerous thing. Again, because accusing the Lord Jesus and his ministry, accusing the Lord Jesus of things that are not so, also accuses the Godhead of things that are not so. And there is one that is very, very sensitive in the Godhead. Verily, it's very important. Verse 28, I say unto you, All sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. In other places in the gospel, when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about this subject, he says, you can blaspheme the Lord Jesus, and it can be forgiven you. You can blaspheme the Father, and it can be forgiven you. But he says here in verse 29, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. See, the Holy Spirit of God, by whom the power of which that the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, does the work of God, the Father assigns it, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfills it, and the Spirit of God is the power at hand to do it. And it's not taking anything away from the Father and the Lord Jesus, but it's just the way the Lord reveals and shows himself unto us. The Spirit of God is very, very sensitive to being accused of his ability and his power being that of the power of Satan. He does not take to it. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, see, the Lord Jesus is saying, I cast out demons by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He's got all of the Holy Spirit of God, John testifies to us in his gospel. There's no metering out of the Spirit to the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has all the Spirit of God. And when one would accuse that the Lord is doing the things that he's doing by the spirit of Satan, the Spirit of God is very, very highly offended. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit hath never forgiveness. You can be forgiven about blasphemy against the Son. You can be forgiven about blasphemy against the Father. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit hath never forgiveness. And that puts one in great danger of eternal damnation. Now, Brother Jim, can I do that and not know it? No. These men knew what they were doing. They blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is always known by those who do so. You don't fall into this, but I believe that one that does this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit of God, they know what they're doing. They know where they're at. They know whose side they are on. Again, these men hate Jesus. They're looking to destroy him. The Pharisees have teamed up with the Herodians, and maybe that this is the next best accusation that they've come up with to accuse our Lord Jesus about. Verse 30. These things that he said in verse 29 or so, because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. You don't go accusing the Holy Spirit of God of being an unclean spirit. You don't do it and get away with it. May the Lord help with understanding about these great and serious things. But see, their time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.